This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Jerry Parasella, the state representative from Beverly, the 6th Essex District. And Jerry, welcome. Good to talk to you again.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Nice to be with you again.
Well, it's been a while, but I know since we've talked, your committees have changed, and you're now the chairman of the Public Service Committee. So tell me about that and what that committee does.
Sure. Yeah, last session I was the chairman of the Veterans Committee. This session I was just recently appointed chairman of the Public Service Committee. So that has jurisdiction over essentially all state employees, state benefits like pensions, retirement, health insurance. There are different groups. They're called Group 1, Group 2, Group 3, Group 4 for retirement purposes. So I'm going to learn a lot about the state government. And it's a busy committee. Like last session, the Veterans Committee had probably about 80 bills before it, and I'm anticipating about 600 bills coming before the Public Service Committee this session. So it's a very busy committee.
You know, as a veteran, or really is still in reserves from the military, I know veteran issues are very much in the forefront for you. And I guess, in our recent presidential election, veterans issues were discussed and issues with VA hospitals and so on came up. What is your take on the whole veterans issue piece, as far as here at the state and, of course, nationally as well?
It's interesting because so few people now currently serve in the military. It's estimated that about half of 1% of the entire population is currently serving in the military. And in Massachusetts, we don't really have any of these big active duty military bases. So sometimes military folks are out of sight, out of mind. But I think it's really important to make sure that we do honor and take care of our veterans. Massachusetts has some of the most robust veterans programs in the country. And whenever I talk to people from other states and tell them about some of the benefits that our state offers, they're really amazed because a lot of people think of just the VA, the federal agency to taking care of veterans. But we have a lot of programs state-specific that other states can't even match. Just for one example, every city and town in Massachusetts has to have their own veterans agent. So you can call city or town hall and ask for the veterans agent. That person is the point person for veterans to get benefits. I was at a conference, and I was talking to somebody from Las Vegas, and that's Clark County, probably about a million people. And they basically said they had like one person covering the entire county, over a million people. And here in Massachusetts, we have 351 cities and towns. So each one of them has to have their own veterans agent. So it's important that now veterans have the opportunity to speak to somebody locally about the veterans benefits that are available to them.
Yeah, that's interesting because you wouldn't think that, a veteran's hospital or medical benefits would change from state to state, but that you're saying that would be the case here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, just for example, if you deploy to Iraq or Afghanistan or someplace overseas, Massachusetts gives you what they call a $1,000 welcome home bonus for your service. No other state does that, and that's tax-free money just to help veterans when they get back because a lot of times, for example, guard and reservists, they lose a significant amount of income when they get deployed from their civilian job. So that helps them out a little bit, when they come back. We have what's called the SAVE team, which is a Massachusetts-based veterans program, where they're like first responders, where you can call them if there's a veteran with issues, like whether it's facing homelessness, medical issues, thinking about suicide. I've called them, and within 2 hours, they had somebody over at somebody's house to help take care of one of the veterans. So it's one of these things that are unique to Massachusetts that other states don't have.
If you were to, I'm going to follow up on this just to go one more question for you. Looking at the healthcare issue here nationally, and it almost seems to me, and this has been on the presidential debate, is that, that any veteran comes back that needs a health service that isn't getting it, to me, ought to just get the best treatment anywhere, and then we pay for it because we couldn't be, cost effective wise. I don't think it was going to add a lot more to the budget. You know what I'm saying? And they deserve that kind of treatment. But tell me about that, how that breaks down different nationally opposed to Massachusetts and what you think.
I mean, I think as far as like Massachusetts goes, I mean, we have really good VA hospitals in Jamaica Plain, Bedford, West Roxbury. But what's also good is we have clinics like here in the North Shore in Gloucester and in Lynn. So if you might not want to be able to or might not be able to travel to Boston, for example. So they do have a clinics, and I think it helps in Massachusetts where we're kind of a smaller state geographically, so it's not as far of a trip for some of these veterans where, for example, you might have to travel for 50, 100 miles in Texas or other big states like that. And for example, a lot of the hoopla are about the quality of care, for example, like at the Phoenix VA, where it was determined that the quality of care wasn't all that great. There haven't been those concerns in Massachusetts, and I think part of the reason is because we're such a great medical community in Massachusetts. We've got some of the finest hospitals, and a lot of those doctors will also work with the VA. So we are getting some of the best doctors and medical students that work at the VA as well. So I think we're fortunate in Massachusetts, but I agree with you that we really need to make sure that we take care of our veterans as far as health care goes.
Yeah, you're the second veteran that's told me that whole piece, which, again, I don't think a lot of people really understand that piece, how a state can be different in treating veterans, you know, from one state to another state. Well, we talked about a national issue and how you are dealing with it locally, and you know, either now or historically in the past with the veterans. But how about the budget issue now? Because that's got to be a big one here, because nationally the president has come out with his budget, and it was panned immediately by our congressional delegation and others at the State House in Boston. So what is your take, and what is the thinking going on around the federal budget and how it impacts our state budget?
I think there's a lot of concern about the budget that was proposed by the president. I mean, just for example, huge cuts to NIH, National Institutes of Health. We have some of the leading research hospitals and universities right here in Massachusetts. They get over $1 billion in funding for research. So just think about all the jobs that are created from that. Cuts to health care. I mean, the Massachusetts state budget, about 40% of it is related to health care costs. And a lot of that is reimbursed by the federal government for Medicaid for low-income patients. So if that gets cut, I mean, how can we make up that? And, you know, there's talk of $300 million, maybe $500 million or even more in cuts. So how do we as a state make up that huge number? So there's a lot of concern about that, no question about it. On the other side, he's talking about increasing defense spending. So we do have great institutions doing research on defense issues like Raytheon, for example, that gets a lot of money. So some of that part of it could be good for the economy. But I think overall there's a lot of concern about the cuts that are being proposed.
Well, another area where cuts were proposed here at the state level would be to the MBTA as far as weekend service. And so in Beverly is a community that you and I have talked about in the past, very, very dependent on the MBTA and the rail service out of Beverly. Five stops in Beverly, which I learned last time mm-hmm. I talked to you, that there are five T stops in Beverly for the train. And just some reaction to that. And I know that now there has been quite a bit of pushback on that budget move.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that it would be a bad move to eliminate weekend service. I mean, a lot of people rely on that to get to work. You know, people aren't just working Monday through Friday, or even if you want to go to a Celtics game or a Bruins game. You know, and the MBTA has proposed that in the past, and it got shut down, and I'm hoping that that'll be the same. One thing that's really frustrating to me, and I think to a lot of passengers, is they don't do a great job of collecting fares. So if somebody, you know, put out the money to buy a monthly pass, and then somebody just walks on the train and they don't check to see if they get a pass and they get a free ride, it's very frustrating for those folks. And it's been estimated that about $30 million is lost in uncollected fares by the MBTA. And the contractor, they don't really have any incentive in their contract to collect the fares because they get paid the same no matter what. So there is some push to crack down on that. They might put some gates up at North Station and South Station to ensure that only people who pay the fare get through those gates. And that $30 million right there would more than cover the weekend service. So I think there's the things that the MBTA can do before cutting back on the weekend service.
I don't know if that's good for me to know about this way to get on the T. At least it'll, maybe I got another. We got a month of free rides here.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is when it's so crowded, the conductors just can't get through sometimes, yeah. And they just maybe they just don't have the capability to get to all the fares. But people pay a lot of money for a monthly pass, so they're very frustrated when they're paying that and other people are getting a free ride.
No, I can get that absolutely free, absolutely for sure. All right, we're talking with Jerry Paracella, state rep from City of Beverly, and maybe just a few issues here that are unique, involve state interactions and so on. those of us that travel through Beverly, travel 1A, and the road work that has been continuing on. Obviously, that's a state-funded or supported project in some way for the city. But tell me about that project, where it stands, and the construction continues, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Another construction season. I mean, it started last year, and essentially what it does is it starts from the Beverly-Salem Bridge and goes all the way up to the Memorial School, which is going to be a new middle school in Beverly.
So. Or the Dairy Queen for some of us, for a reference point for the rest of us.
Exactly. You got it. Right, exactly. So basically that, it's going to be construction from sidewalk and so basically total reconstruction of 1A. Sort of like 1A Rantoul Street was sort of considered like the stepchild of Beverly. Cabot Street got a lot of the attention for downtown, but I think this is going to really reinvigorate Rantoul Street. There'll be some nice period lighting there, all new construction. Last year, there was a lot of disruptions because they had to do a lot of the utility work underground. They want to make sure they take care of all that before they repave the road. So hopefully, maybe by the end of this year or early next year, that project will be done, and it'll look really nice.
Now, when we think of Beverly, you think of waterfront, obviously, and there's always been, discussion, for years now about the Beverly waterfront, and maybe you can share a little insight on that. And I guess what I'm talking about is anywhere from the Salem Bridge, the Beverly-Salem Bridge on up, which would include that old McDonald's restaurant site.
Yeah, that's sort of the bane of the existence of the downtown, is it's been vacant for so long, and it's frustrating for a lot of people. But I think there is going to be some progress there. Recently, the state finished a nice walkway from just the area that you mentioned, from the bridge over to the McDonald's site, so people can fish there. They can take a little walk around. There's also a park across in Salem that they did. And that was sort of part of the mitigation for that Beverly-Salem Bridge. So the next thing is to develop that waterfront parcel, like you talked about, the old McDonald's site. And I think there is going to be progress there. There was some state restriction about what could go in there a few years ago. That's been lifted, so I think that'll help. The city has put out a few requests for proposals from developers to develop that site. And, I think I'm pretty optimistic that hopefully within the next 6 months or a year we'll get some progress on having a nice development there so people can eat, right in a beautiful waterfront.
Yeah, maybe I should have taken this one first previously here, but the new middle school project, obviously that is, you touched on that a moment ago, but the new middle school project is moving right along, and that completion date is coming up, or it's got to be quite a ways away.
The hope is to have students in there by September of 2018, so that would be this new school year for them. It's kind of interesting because it's going to replace the Briscoe Middle School, which was built in the 1920s. I mean, my parents went to Briscoe, I went to Briscoe, and my daughter will now be the last graduating class from Briscoe, so three generations of Paracellos have been through. It's served its purpose well, but it's an old building, and it's going to be nice to have a brand-new middle school, and about $50 million will be coming from the state to help pay for that. And recently the mayor and the city council approved a turf field for there as well. So that'll allow more use of the fields. As we're taping this, it's still snow on the ground and so forth. So that kind of thing, to clear it out and have more use for the fields, I think will be helpful for the city.
Yeah, we talk about turf fields, but today, which is as we record this, is the first day of spring, Monday, the 20th of March. It is actually the first day of high school spring sports practices. But I think case in point made here, if people don't think about this, is how these fields can be used in other seasons and in practice kind of scenarios, where kids can get outside on a day like we're forecasting, maybe 40s, 50s. Certainly they can get outside. But if you can't get out on the field, you can't get outside. And this would allow kids to get out there. And as many schools with these turf fields, they'll be out there on this day.
And also one of the benefits, too, is they did an analysis and they determined how much cheaper it is for maintenance costs. So it's expensive to build at first. This would be about $1 million. But in the life of the turf field, there's much less cost for maintenance. And as you said, they can get out there and use it much more often. So you don't have to worry. Like, for example, Beverly, we've got the iconic Hurd Stadium. But it's limited to how often that can be used because you don't want to tear up the field, especially in a muddy day. Yeah. So with these turf fields like we have at the high school and now at the new middle school, they're able to be used in all kinds of weather.
That Hurd Stadium turf was always a very guarded possession in the city of Beverly, wasn't it?
No question about it. I remember probably about 5-6 years ago, the mayor, prior mayor, talked about maybe doing some turf, and it didn't go over well. Hurd Stadium is a treasure in the city of Beverly, and people don't want you to mess with it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think we're getting down here, but one other issue, a statewide kind of issue, cities and towns are dealing with this, but marijuana. There's medical marijuana, there's recreational marijuana, and there's that ballot question that passed in November. Put that together for us, because it's an issue that the state houses, or that you as a state rep and state senators will be dealing with.
Yeah, you're right. Recently a new committee was formed at the State House, the Marijuana Committee. So what they're doing is they're looking at the ballot question plus all the bills that have been filed to come up with some sort of way to implement legal marijuana. There's no question it's legal. It's going to be legal. People are going to be able to use it. But the question is, how do we tweak it to make sure that we ensure public safety? You know, there's been some concerns about, like, the edibles looking like gummy bears, for example. Are kids going to be, thinking that they're having a gummy bear when it's laced with THC, marijuana? So those are the kind of things that they're looking at. My best guess is that probably around June or early July, there'll be a bill that will be voted on in the legislature to implement the legal marijuana. It's here to stay. There's no question. We're not going to overturn the will of the voters, but I think there are going to be some tweaks to it just to ensure public safety, and probably also to look a little bit at the tax rate. The tax rate of the ballot question was like 3.75%, which is pretty low when you look at other states. For example, I think Oregon is about 37%, because we have to have a commission and we have to have law enforcement able to regulate and look at the issues related to legal marijuana. So how do you pay for that? And that tax will help pay for those things.
Another, to me, one of the big issues on that piece is the so-called driving under the influence piece, which is totally unresolved, isn't it?
Yeah, the police really say they don't have a way to determine that. You know, there isn't a breathalyzer for operating under the influence of marijuana. So that is a challenge, no question about it. You know, how do we know that somebody is operating impaired? It's illegal to be operating impaired, but how do you determine that? It's not like a field sobriety test or a breathalyzer. So that's one of the big challenges.
Yeah, I'm going to close with asking you, Jerry, to share with us some of your military background just a little bit for us, because it's impressive, and I know you're still active as a reserve. So share with us, our listeners, because we did talk about Veterans Affairs earlier, but your military background.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I've been serving for 23 years in the Army Reserves. I'm currently a JAG, which is an Army lawyer. I serve with a unit out of Brockton, Mass. I've deployed to Iraq. I've deployed to Bosnia. Been to El Salvador, a bunch of different countries, with military service. I think I've traveled to like 30 states, so it's a wonderful opportunity to serve my country, sort of on a part-time basis. Although nowadays with the reserves and the guard, you don't just do 1 weekend a month. You get deployed, you serve overseas, and it's been an honor to do that. And I think it's really helped me as far as dealing with veterans issues at the State House. There's only about 5% of the legislators that are veterans, so to have that perspective, I think, is helpful.
No, absolutely. And now, at this point in your military career, would there be an opportunity to go back? I mean, would they push you to do that at some point, to go overseas again?
It's always a possibility. When you serve in the reserves, you could be called up. I mean, I think there's a lot of concern. There's just been discussion about what's going on in North Korea, for example. They've been doing a lot of things that have been very worrisome. So you never know. I mean, we're back to Iraq again. They're increasing the number of troops there. We're in Afghanistan. We've got troops in Syria. So if I got the call, I'd be willing to go. I mean, I'd much prefer to be here in the good old USA. But, when you sign up and raise your right hand, you understand that you could possibly go. So
yeah. Syria, Massachusetts legislature. I guess you're going to stay in the legislature, or are you sure about that? Yeah.
I know. Both have their own dangers.
All right. Well, Jerry, it's great talking with you. Anything else you want to share with us at all that we haven't, that we didn't touch on here?
You know, I just, I think there's a lot of things going on regarding health insurance, health care, taking care of veterans like we talked about. A lot of issues that are coming up this year for sure. And I think it's going to be a busy legislative session. And I'm just honored to have the opportunity to serve my fourth session here in, representing Beverly.
All right, there he is, Jerry Parasella, the state representative for the city of Beverly. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO News Sports.